Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Hello and welcome to the Wildcat Scoop podcast. I am your host, Shelby Shear, here with the incomparable.
Oh.
Look, I added an adjective.
Jason Shear.
There we go. Heyo. And we are here to preview the Arizona men's basketball matchup against Stanford on Thursday night.
I have my thesaurus out. I'm ready for the Stanford audience.
Oh, yeah. We're going to use big words. Because we know that
I'm just being facetious.
We have Stanford fans, hopefully.
I'll tell you the algorithm towards Arizona's victory later on.
Okay. If Stanford fans are listening, we're hoping they would be impressed by our big words.
Why talk about the basketball game when we can talk about the suicidal effect of the Chinese government? And I'm just kidding.
Wow. Okay.
Anyway, back to...
that's another podcast, babe. Anyway, we're just going to jump right in. Stanford will be without fans. They're playing... So this game, no fans in the stadium. Do you think that plays a factor in general? I already know what you're going to say, but yeah.
I actually asked Tommy Lloyd if it was a disadvantage. And because Tommy Lloyd is a first-year coach at Arizona, I don't think he fully understood what I meant. If you have been to a Stanford-Arizona game in recent years, there are more Arizona fans than Stanford fans at the game. There is a very large Bay Area following with Arizona fans. And whenever you turn on the TV and they're playing, you can hear the Arizona fans. And so he's like, no, you know, I don't see how it would affect the away team. And it won't. It's normally, like, let's say Arizona played, you know, at a place like Oregon or some sort of hostile environment, Colorado, Utah, and there were no fans, I think it would be a much more significant factor. But the reality is that Stanford fans aren't really going to basketball games anyway. It's true. I mean, they don't have a big attendance. And, you know, Tommy Lloyd said he thinks it'll actually help Arizona. They don't have to show off to try to get the crowd into it or quiet the crowd down with lobs and stuff like that. It's going to be a bunker mentality where they just go in. And so I think it, if anything, it helps Arizona. It's not going to hurt Arizona. And if anything, it would hurt Stanford. I don't think it'll be a huge deal. I hope to hear some curse words, I don't think at the end of the day it's going to be a huge deal that they're playing in an empty arena just because Stanford, you know, it sounds mean, but Stanford doesn't really get big crowds anyway.
So just all business.
Yeah, so Tiger Woods is going to have to stay home. He can't do that fist pump that he did when that, what's Nick Robinson doing? He's on the staff now? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, God, you know, Condoleezza Rice can't be there.
I'm having flashbacks.
You know, they're all busy drinking brandy and reading encyclopedias.
Yeah, what are you up to, Chris Hernandez? Big jerk.
Well, speaking of Stanford, they usually rely on defense, but it isn't as good this year. What type of team is Stanford overall?
It's actually a very different team. And Tommy Lloyd said in the presser, usually even when Stanford struggles, their defense is pretty good. Not this year. last year, their defense was 28th in KenPom. The year before, it was 7th. And, I mean, Stanford hasn't been good. The year before, it was 66th. This year, it's 64. They're not a good defensive team. And they haven't been a good offensive team in a while. Like, that's not a big deal, the fact that their offense isn't very good. I mean, it's been flat-out bad in KenPom. And this year, it's bad again. But their defense is bad, which is a little bit surprising. They don't have those guards. It is a bigger team. It is a very legitimate big team, one of the biggest in the country, one of the biggest Arizona will see all season. but it is different, not in the offensive sets they run, but just in the way that they approach things. You know, usually you think of Stanford, they take care of the ball. They're not taking care of the ball this year. Usually you think of them as a better defensive team. They're not a good defensive team. You know, the effective field goal percentage and turnover percentage, they're not succeeding in either. They're rebounding the ball very well, especially offensively, but it's not your prototypical, you know, Stanford team. Tempo, they're 151. Usually, you know, they're pretty much in that area. So really the main difference is when you look at the Stanford team, it's that there's a major drop-off on defense, which is usually Stanford's bread and butter and kind of keeps it in games. It's been bad at times this year.
Well, with that ringing endorsement, which individual matchup are you most excited about for this game?
There's a few, actually, because even though Stanford's not a very good team, there's some individual talent that, you know, would probably play decent minutes for Arizona. Like Jaden Dallaire is a solid player. Spencer Jones is a decent shooter. Stanford's really big. Like, they go right to a 6'7 shooting guard. The good thing is, you know, Arizona's really big also. The one that I'm really intrigued by is Julius Tabellis versus Harrison Ingram. Harrison Ingram has locked up the Pac-12 Freshman of the Year. Yes, because he's good, but also because there really aren't many other freshmen in the conference. It is a very down year. A lot of it is transfers, guys coming back, things like that. But it is a very down year in terms of freshmen. Like, Arizona doesn't even have a guy that is remotely close to the conversation. So Ingram's going to be the freshman of the year, one of the better freshmen in the country in reality, and he's going against Tubelis. Ingram has kind of an old man game. He's 6'8", 230, smart guy, can step out and shoot it, can get you in the post. Really effective player. And then you have Tubelis, who's kind of a veteran compared to Ingram, who's also, you know, played his butt off last game. That's a really good matchup to me, because if Tubelis considerably outplays Ingram, like, I don't know how Stanford wins that game. I think they need big games from guys like Ingram. From Jaden Dallaire is another one. I'm curious to see how Dalen Terry guards Jaden Dallaire. That's probably, in reality, maybe the most important matchup of the game, because, you know, does he guard Dallaire? You know, do they go a little bigger? You know, it's do they put Ben on Spencer Jones and Dalen on Dallaire? That's probably what I would do. Dalen, if he contains Dallaire, that's one of those situations where, again, it becomes really difficult for Stanford to win. And so when you look at those two individual matchups, those are the two that stick out to me. Dallaire nationally is probably the better player, but I think Ingram, in a way, is the more important player. But Stanford's really big, and it's going to be, you know, individually, it's going to be interesting. How does Ben handle that size and that strength defensively? How does Dalen, he's going to get at 6'9 and Dallaire skinny, but that's another thing and kind of across the board.
It sounds like some intriguing matchups there, especially depending which version of Tubelis we get that shows up. If we get the monster, Stanford doesn't really stand much of a chance. And also, if our starting point guard also decides not to, you know, maybe get hurt before the game.
And I mean, you can make a case that, like, there's matchups, too, that Arizona should dominate. There's two. And so Kirk Creasa should dominate Michael O'Connell. O'Connell is better than people think because his assist rate is high. He averages a good amount of assists, but he's not a scorer in any way, shape, or form. James Keefe will get minutes at center. He's not good. Like, Coloco should eat him up. And so, you know, does Stanford go? If I was Stanford, I'd go with the lineup where I play Ingram at center. But then, you know, is Ingram at 6'8 going to be able to score over Coloco? Probably not. And so if you're Stanford, those are by far the two matchups that just scare the crap out of you. Because in reality, Stanford doesn't have an answer at center or point guard.
They can't do anything
there. Right.
Yeah. On another note, do you think Jared Haas, the coach of Stanford, is the coach this time next year?
No. I'm not. And Stanford's actually in a really interesting situation because, in a way, and this is going to sound stupid, I realize that, but in a way, Jared Haas hurts himself by recruiting so well for a place like Stanford. Like, Ingram is really good. And when you have a place like Ingram, a player like Ingram, you should be a tournament team. Like, they have good players.
You should build around him.
Right, but they're not. They're going to probably, you know, miss the tournament after, you know, you could have thought, oh, maybe they're, you know, back or whatever. But then they go out and they lose to Washington. Stanford had the 20th best class in 2021. Like, I mean, Ingram was a five-star top 20 player. What's crazy is in 2023, Stanford has a commit from Kenan Carlisle, who's 20th in the country, a combo guard. When you land those players at Stanford, that's a big deal.
Right.
The problem is you're not winning with them.
He's not developing them.
And you get Zaire Williams and you waste him away. You have an older roster with Oscar Da Silva and you don't do anything with it. You have guards finally. And, you know, last season they go 14 and 13. You know, the year before 20 and 12, which was fine. But then you go out and you just, you know, you lose to Cal in the Pac-12 tournament, right? Mm-hmm. So you're trying to get on the bubble and all that, and then you lose to Cal. You lose, like, you know, you take a look at them last year, right, 20 and 12. They had a three-game losing streak. Then they go and they beat Oregon. Heck yeah. Then they go on a four-game losing streak. Then they go on a four-game winning streak, and then they end the season on a three-game losing streak.
Just the inconsistency.
Right, and that's the problem. Like, Haas can't get them to play. They don't have the identity. Like I mentioned, their identity is usually defense, and this year they're not very good defensively. And you take a look at them this year. They just beat USC in front of no fans. They beat decent Washington State. They beat Wyoming. They beat Oregon. You're like, heck yeah. Well, they lost to Santa Clara and Washington. Like, you take away those Santa Clara and Washington losses, 16 points to Santa Clara, by the way, and you take those away, well, all of a sudden they're a tournament team. They're 12-3. And so Jared Haas can't get that consistency. And, you know, look, Stanford's a different animal. They let coaches stay there for too long. You know, it like David Shaw, who I like, they're paying him a bajillion dollars.
I was wondering if you're going
to
mention Shaw.
I mean, they're paying him like $9 million to be mediocre right now, and they're not getting rid of he's there for life.
Yep.
And so Haas, maybe they say, you know what, we're not doing anything with it, but he's not the guy. Like, they're going to lose a lot more this season, and they're scheduled – you know, they're going to lose probably three of their next four, you'd assume. They got the Arizona schools, then they got the L.A. schools. So, you know, it, who knows if they'll have fans, and, you know, maybe that's hurting them. But I just – if I was an AD, if Stanford was a normal school, right, not a Stanford type of school, I'd say Jared Haas would be out. But you just don't know with Stanford. So my final answer is no. I actually don't think he'll be coaching.
Yeah, they can't keep two, you know, dead weights on staff like this. And major programs, it's just too much of a bad look for football and basketball to have coaches like that. So
I like David Shaw, but imagine paying a guy $9 million to run
to
Wildcat.
Just be mediocre. Yeah. Anyway, well, I do want to say thank you, Stanford, for beating USC. That always is a good time. Well, as far as looking at everything on paper, we've heard what you had to say. What is your prediction, Jason?
I actually think this game is going to be relatively closer than people think. I saw people on the message board saying Arizona's going to run them, and they could. That, don't get me wrong. That potential is there. The biggest thing with Stanford is their turnover percentage is god-awful. But the thing is that Arizona's, the last four games, has been turning the ball over way too much. There's going to be a game where Arizona goes out and has like eight turnovers and just beats the crap out of a team because of it. That could be Stanford, because Stanford doesn't force a lot of turnovers. So Arizona could go out and take care of the ball. I mean, Stanford on offense is 344th in the nation on turnovers. They're 276th in the way they force them. Now, the key if you're Arizona is Stanford's offensive rebounding percentage is fantastic, and they don't let other teams do it either. They go to the line at a pretty good rate, but they also foul a lot. They don't hit free throws at all. Like, they're a bad free throw shooting team. But they're a good passing team. And when the offense gets going, they do have jump shooters. They're going to take their time, and they do have jump shooters. For me, the situation is the fouls and the turnovers. I think you have to play a relatively clean game in order to beat Arizona. And while I do think it's going to be close in the first half and maybe part of the second, I think at the end of the day, the talent of Arizona wins out. I think I picked, I don't remember my breakdown, but I think I picked Arizona by 9. The spread's like 9.5. That feels about right. I could see it being like a 5-6 point game where maybe it's close, but you kind of don't feel like Arizona's going to lose. Like, it's one of those games where Stanford hangs around.
They're closer than they should be, but Arizona always was in the lead.
Right, and Stanford's done that a few times. I mean, look, Washington, they lost by 3, and Washington's not good, but they were down. Washington State, they were down, and Stanford went on a 23-0 run. The one thing I will say about Stanford is they don't give up. They play hard, and they play to the end. But I just think that the talent gap will wind up being too much. But I don't think people should freak out if this is a type of game that's maybe a little closer, because Stanford is a very good rebounding
team.
They're
tough, and they're playing at home. It doesn't matter if there's no fans there.
And they're big. It is a big Stanford team at every position. They are not deep. They have Brandon Angel coming off the bench who like, he's a guy that he should be starting over Keith. But the problem is that if you start him over Keith, now you have no bench.
Right.
And so they'll bring Angel off the bench, and he'll play like 30 minutes just because. But if they get in foul trouble like at the guard position, they're done. And so I just think that when you're playing a team like Arizona and you need to take care of the ball and you need to be able to force turnovers, it's a difficult matchup for Stanford. But again, I wouldn't be surprised if it's closer than people expect, and we kind of have one of those mini board freakouts afterwards for
it's
no
gonna
reason.
Be a grind, guys. Like, it's Stanford, you know, it's gonna be leading up to like the last 5 minutes of the second half, and where you can really see the Arizona's talent, and our athletes are just gonna like, when it's gonna happen.
I would be surprised if Arizona comes into Stanford and just beats the crap out of them. I would, and that's not a knock on Arizona. It's not a knock on, you know, I'm not even complimenting Stanford. I just, like, college basketball has these waves, right? Like, you look at today, Villanova lost to Marquette. No one's saying Villanova isn't better than Marquette. Bama beat LSU, and LSU was on fire. You know, Texas A&M gave Kentucky all they could handle. Baylor just came off of, you know, a two-game losing streak. Teams lose. Like,
Duke lost last night.
Duke lost to Florida State.
It was like, amazing.
College basketball, that's how it is.
It's
like,
any given Thursday, man.
Arizona's losing a basketball game this season.
I know. Everyone needs to get over this idea of we're not going to lose again.
Like, Arizona is going to lose multiple games.
And that's okay.
Maybe two, three, whatever it may be. And it's okay. And is this one of them? No, I don't think so. But this is a difficult road trip. And it's going to tell us a lot. Now, I will say if Arizona goes 3-0, that's a big deal.
That is a big deal.
But we'll get there when the time comes. But I don't know. I just have the feeling that this game is a little closer than expected. What's your prediction? Give me the numbers.
I've been told I'm banned from giving numbers.
No,
since my prediction.
That's not what happened.
A couple podcasts ago.
Well, you're an animal. But
you didn't actually give a number either. What is it? You don't remember?
No. It was a 9-point game.
Okay, there you go.
I asked Shelby if she would be picking Arizona to lose at any point this season. I will be at some point, but she said no because she's scared of you guys.
I didn't want to be tarred and feathered.
And I said, look, when you've been bashed by every fan base in the Pac-12 like I have,
you gotta get a tough skin.
Right.
And so UCLA, I'm picking, fans are mean.
Right. So, by the way, no doubt in my mind that fans will be allowed in Pauly on Monday.
It's like magic.
Or Tuesday, whatever.
You know what? COVID's over in LA on Monday, guys.
And I called this, and then UCLA fans killed me. You just watch. The announcement will come. What's today?
We're recording this
on a Wednesday. The announcement will come on Saturday.
Yeah.
After the UCLA plays on Saturday.
Magically.
Yeah. Just watch.
It's pretty interesting how all the stars align for UCLA. It's just so easy.
Stanford, I don't know if they'll ever allow fans. There's only 7 people that go to games anyway. So I don't know. 8 people.
That's because they're studying. For reals.
I didn't use enough big words.
That's true.
My algorithm says that Arizona will win by 9 points based on the field goal efficiency plus the... sorry, done.
Wow.
I don't know anyone, now that I think about it, that went to Stanford.
Yeah. If you went to Stanford, tell Jason. Tell Jason and me.
Yeah, hit me up.
Oh, no. That wasn't proper English. Jason and I.
Yeah.
Also, I did figure out how to say goodnight in Italian. It's that Dean Martin song. It's Buonasera. You should have told me the other night.
Well, had you gone to Stanford, you would have
known
that already.
So. That's very true. But dang it, I you know, took a lot of Spanish classes. So anyway, I think that we're done for the night. We've had no interruptions.
I'm drinking a venti latte.
No dogs.
9:30 at night, so who knows what the rest of the night holds for me.
Yeah, I think that means you're going to be up super late. We're just practicing for the 9 o'clock tip off for tomorrow night.
Bear down o'clock. 9 o'clock.
Bear down o'clock. Ooh, that's good.
Yeah. Bear down o'clock. Remember, we'll end it with our motto. Bear down. Wake up. Thank you for joining us, guys. Say thank you, Shelby.
Oh, I thought we were...
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.